From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news for the headlines. Minister of Foreign Affairs of OIC member countries visit Britain to raise support for the Gaza settlement. Indonesian Foreign Minister says atrocities in Gaza have gone beyond the limit. OIC Foreign Minister welcomes French President's firmness. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news where Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi and her counterpart from Saudi Arabia, Palestine, Jordan, Egypt, Nigeria and the Secretary General of the Arab League visited London, England on Wednesday. The visit aimed to gather support for resolving the Gaza problems. As part of the follow-up to the extraordinary summit resolutions of the OIC in Riyadh some time ago. In London, the Foreign Affairs Minister met with the international press and expressed their warm welcome on the agreement to release the hostages and the commencement of a four-day humanitarian ceasefire. However, the Foreign Minister said that a more permanent ceasefire was needed so that humanitarian assistance could be provided without obstacles. In a statement received in Jakarta on Thursday, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said that Indonesia views the importance of respecting international humanitarian law.
Saya sampaikan, di dalam perang pun ada hukumnya.
I said, even in war, there are laws, there are rules, protections of civil societies and public facilities, including hospitals, is an important part of humanitarian law. Talking about hospitals, I would say that Indonesian hospitals are one of the victims. I would like to say that for several days, Indonesia has lost contact with Indonesian citizens who work in Indonesian hospitals. Once again, I emphasize that protection of civil society is very important.
Proteksi terhadap masyarakat sipil sangat penting.
Apart from that, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno Marsudi also emphasized that global South countries are often lectured about respecting human rights, international law, and international humanitarian law. Now she is questioning whether these values have also been applied to Palestine. Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said, "What is happening in Gaza has gone beyond the limit," she said. "Israel's attack is not only happening now, but is a continuation of injustice against Palestine, Israel's illegal occupations and Israel's desire to erase Palestine." She conveyed this when meeting with British Foreign Minister James Cameron with a number of foreign ministers from the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, and Secretary General of the Arab League, Wednesday local time. In her statement Thursday, Foreign Minister Retno also said Israeli's self-defense reason cannot be a justification for killing civilians.
Kita berdiskusi dengan sangat terbuka dan saya sampaikan apa yang terjadi di Gaza sudah melewati.
We discuss very openly. I convey that what is happening in Gaza has crossed the line and is completely unacceptable from any perspective and from any values or standards. Therefore, cruelty must stop immediately. Permanent ceasefire is required and stop attacks on humanitarian facilities and civilians.
Humanitarian facilities dan masyarakat sipil.
Furthermore, Retno Marsudi also urged the UN Security Council to show moral responsibility to fight for justice and humanity. According to Retno, now is the right time to apply the same values to Palestine regarding respect for human rights and international law. Indonesia also hopes that Britain can side with the struggle for justice and humanity. Indonesian Vice President Maruf Amin and Archbishop of Athens and all of Greece, Euronymous II, on Thursday exchanged their views regarding efforts to maintain tolerance and diversity in the two countries. He said to the Archbishop at the Holy Metropolitan Church of Athens, Greece, on Thursday, that Indonesia is home to more than 270 million people residing on 17,000 islands. It has 718 local languages and six official religions, namely Islam, Protestant Christianity, Catholic Hinduism, Buddhism, and Confucianism. Given this diversity, Indonesia adheres to the philosophy of Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, which means uniting in diversity. The Vice President expressed the hope that the meeting with Archbishop Euronymous II will strengthen mutual commitment to promote understanding and encourage mutually beneficial cooperation between the two countries. The Minister of Foreign Affairs of the member countries of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, welcomed President Emmanuel Macron's statement, which emphasized that France does not adhere to double standards in viewing the situations in Palestine. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, who was also present at the OIC Foreign Ministers meeting with the French president, said that the foreign ministers hope that France would use its influence on other countries not to apply double standards to the Palestinian case. In a statement received in Jakarta on Thursday, Foreign Minister Retno also said that the OIC foreign ministers also reiterated the importance of a ceasefire, unimpeded humanitarian assistance.
Diskusi dengan Presiden Macron cukup lama dan dilakukan dengan.
The discussion with President Macron was quite long and carried out very openly. The foreign ministers welcomed President Macron's statement that there is no double standard for French. The foreign ministers hoped that French would use its influence on other countries not to apply double standards for the Palestinian case. The OIC foreign ministers again emphasized the importance of ceasefires and unhindered humanitarian assistance.
Dan unhindered humanitarian assistance.
Meanwhile, in a meeting with the French Minister of Foreign Affairs, Catherine Colonna, the OIC foreign ministers discussed further their hopes for a stronger and more comprehensive UN Security Council resolution. According to Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, the OIC really hopes for French support so that a resolution can be produced, especially regarding the issue of humanitarian assistance. A number of instant coffee and vanilla bean products from Indonesia are being exhibited at the 2023 Global Digital Trade Expo, which is being held in Hangzhou, China from November 23rd to 27. They are being showcased along with other main products from ASEAN countries at a booth featuring the results of digital economic cooperation between ASEAN and China. According to him, the instant coffee products from Indonesia has been quite popular since it was first introduced in China around 2017. Indonesia is one of the largest producers of vanilla beans in the world, which are exported to a number of countries such as the United States, Germany, the Netherlands, and Canada. Let's move on to the international news, where the foreign ministers of South Korea, China, and Japan will meet for talks in South Korea on Sunday. South Korea's foreign ministry said on Friday, as the three countries seek to hold their first leader summit in 4 years. The meeting of foreign ministers, which will take place in South Korean port city of Busan, is also the first such meeting since 2019. In September, senior diplomats from the three countries agreed to arrange a meeting of their leaders at the earliest convenient time. The South Korean foreign ministry said in a statement that the foreign ministers plan to exchange views extensively on the direction of development of trilateral cooperation, including preparation of a ninth trilateral summit and regional and global issues. Vietnam's President Pho Phan Thuong will visit Japan next week, a Vietnamese foreign ministry spokesperson said on Thursday, as the two countries discuss strengthening their relation. Closer ties would confirm Vietnam's increasingly strategic role as an important link in global supply chain amid trade tensions between China and the West, which is helping to bring foreign investment to the Southeast Asian country as some companies relocate operations from China. The elevation of ties with Japan would follow Vietnam's historic upgrade of relations with the United States in September, when the former foes signed multiple cooperation agreements, including on semiconductors and critical minerals. Duong's visit from Monday to Thursday next week is his first to Japan as president and coincides with celebration for the 50th anniversary of ties between the ASEAN countries. Listener, now let's move it on to commentary for today on IAEA as Israel's to join the Nuclear Weapons Non-Proliferation Treaty.
Today's commentary is on IAEA asked Israel to join the Nuclear Weapons Non-Proliferation Treaty. Earlier this month, Israel's Minister of Heritage, Amichai Eliyahu, issued a statement that the Israeli government was considering the possibility of dropping a nuclear bomb on the Gaza Strip to combat the Palestinian Hamas group. Eliyahu's statement is considered a de facto admission that Israel does have nuclear weapons. Russia, through its foreign ministry spokesperson Maria Zakharova, said that Israel appeared to have admitted that it had nuclear weapons. She criticized the role of the International Atomic Energy Agency, or IAEA, and international nuclear inspectors who have not followed up on the admission. Just like Zakharova, Turkey President Recep Tayyip Erdogan also appears to believe that Israel has nuclear weapons, although Tel Aviv has repeatedly denied this. Erdogan said he would ask the United Nations Security Council and the International Atomic Energy Agency to investigate Israel's possession of nuclear weapons. So far, Israel has not officially confirmed or denied having nuclear weapons. Eliyahu's statement confirms the long-standing suspicion that Israel does have nuclear weapons. Investigations by the IAEA are critical to ensure that nuclear energy is developed and used by a country for peaceful purposes. If not, then the nuclear weapons suspected of being owned by Israel could trigger a nuclear arms race in the Middle East. However, the request for the IAEA to investigate Israel's possession of nuclear weapons is difficult to realize. This is because Israel is not a signatory to the 1965 Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which requires its members to be targets of IAEA inspections. So it will be difficult for the international community to force Israel to reveal its nuclear weapons. Recognizing this, Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Rafael Mariano Grossi, repeated the call for all countries in the Middle East, particularly including Israel, to join the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons. Speaking to journalists in Vienna on Wednesday, November the 22nd, as quoted by Antara, Grossi urged all countries to join the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons, which aims to prevent the spread of nuclear weapons and nuclear-related weapons technology. Grossi also reminded that the IAEA General Assembly, the Board of Directors, and he himself have repeatedly called on all countries in the Middle East, including Israel, to join nuclear non-proliferation. It is not easy to lobby or ask Israel to join the IAEA. Diplomatic efforts need to continue so that Israel joins the Treaty on the Non-Proliferation of Nuclear Weapons. Only by joining the treaty can Israel be required to comply and commit to opening all of its nuclear facilities to comprehensive nuclear inspection. That was commentary today.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. I'll begin today in history with November 24, 1859, when the first Evolution Day occurred. Evolution Day is a day to commemorate the theory of evolution. Reporting from the Assemblies for All website, November 24 was designated as Evolution Day because on November 24, 1859, the British scientist Charles Darwin published a work entitled On the Origin of Species. In the book, it is stated that natural selection is a form of evolutionary theory. Darwin also said that evolution cannot be separated from the way living creatures survive and adapt to their environment. Because of his work, Charles Darwin is often called the father of evolution. Let's move on to November 24, 1969, when Apollo 12 successfully landed in the Pacific Ocean. Apollo 12 was the sixth mission of the Apollo program of the United States Space Agency, NASA. It was the second spacecraft to reach the moon. The mission was launched on November 14, 1969 from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. Three astronauts crewed this mission, namely Charles Conrad Jr., Richard Gordon Jr., and Alan Bean. On November 19, Apollo 12 successfully reached the moon and astronauts set foot and explored the lunar surface. On the evening of November 24, 1969, this mission ended with the Apollo 12 module landing in the Pacific Ocean and bringing the astronaut back safely. I'll end today in history with November 24, 2013, when Iran signs a nuclear agreement with the P5+1 countries. On November 24, 2013, an agreement called the Joint Plan of Action was signed by Iran and P5+1. The P5+1 consists of the permanent member states of the UN Security Council, namely the United States, Britain, France, Russia, and China, plus Germany. In the agreement that took effect in 2014, Iran agreed to freeze part of its nuclear program in the short term so that economic sanction against Iran could be reduced. The joint action plan between Iran and the P5+1 is the first formal agreement between the United States and Iran within 34 years. This agreement was then refined with a joint comprehensive plan of action in July 2015.
Ayahmu, ibumu. Jika kau mau bersabar dan mencoba mengerti, ku pastikan engkau bahagia. Jika kau bisa bertahan menungguku di sini, ku pastikan engkau bahagia. Jika kau mau bersabar dan mencoba mengerti, ku pastikan engkau bahagia. Jika kau bisa bertahan menungguku di sini, ku pastikan engkau bahagia. Tapi tunggu dulu, ku rangkai dengan waktu. Ku semai harapanmu, sebelum ku temui ayahmu.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia Today focuses on Indonesia and D8 joint hand in capacity building for cooperatives and micro, small and medium enterprises. The Indonesian Ministry of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises explore cooperation with developing aid D8 organization for economic cooperation to improve cooperatives and micro, small and medium enterprises business capacity. The eight developing countries are Bangladesh, Indonesia, Iran, Malaysia, Nigeria, Pakistan and Turkey. This cooperation was said to be very good to follow up, for it will provide many benefits for the eight member countries, since each nation has their own potential and best quality. That was stated by the Secretary of the Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises, Arif Rahman Hakim, when meeting with Secretary General of D8, Isyaka Abdul Qadir Imam in Jakarta on Monday. In their statement, quoted by Antara, Arif explained that currently Indonesia is trying to build the capacity of micro, small and medium enterprises and cooperatives. They have some priority programs for micro businesses. The government strengthened business legality for small and medium enterprises, the supply chains, while cooperatives were encouraged to be modern cooperatives as well as the entrepreneurs. The government also aimed to create 1 million new entrepreneurs. Therefore, according to Arif, the next cooperation explored by the aid organization would be important to exchange info about cooperatives empowerment. In the meeting, the aid secretary general Isyaka Abdul Qadir Imam convey the aid will also focus on micro, small and medium enterprises development by involving all the aid members including Indonesia. According to him, micro, small and medium enterprises have an important role in developing economies in all the eight countries. Even in Indonesia, some 99% of business people are dominated by micro, small and medium enterprises. G8 want to immediately hold the first meeting in 2025. Abdul Qadir also aimed that by 2030, the 8 international micro, small and medium enterprises product trade and in the global market can reach $500 billion. According to Abdul Qadir, the micro, small and medium enterprises development in the 8 member became an important sector to improve, and it is important to improve people's welfare. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, when you travel to West Sumbawa Regency, West Nusa Tenggara Province, you have to try one of the regional specialties, namely Palopo. In Sumbawa traditional language, palopo means buffalo rice porridge. Just like the name, palopo is made from buffalo milk. Apart from buffalo milk, palopo rice porridge is made from brown sugar, granulated sugar, and a little yellow eggplant liquid as a thickening sauce. The way to cook palopo is very simple and it doesn't take a long time. Freshly milked buffalo milk is mixed with yellow eggplant sap. Then, this mixture is filled with brown sugar and granulated sugar. Then, just stir it until smooth and you steam it until it is well done. Yellow eggplant functions to condense or help the fermentation process. After being well done, palopo looks like chocolate pudding. There are parts that settle at the bottom of the bowl, but there are other parts that are like sauce. The color is brownish white. It tastes sweet too. Palopo rice porridge is very delicious to eat when it is still warm. Usually, this porridge is enjoyed with white sticky fermented rice, tapeh. It tastes sweet and fresh. By adding tapeh, the taste becomes more delicious and warmer in the body. Listener, the people of West Sumbawa believe that palopo can increase the body's vitality. This rice porridge is often sought during the fasting month as a menu for breaking the fast. People also believe that palopo is able to restore energy that has been drained due to fasting. This rice porridge is easy to find in the West Sumbawa Regency. One of palopo's sales centers is Pasar Sore. There are several traders that sell this traditional food. The price is around 5,000 to 10,000 rupiah or less than $1 per bowl. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder read by Ahmad Faisal.
Baby, I'm so in love with you.
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, today's Miscellany presents information for aquatic sports lover as Sail Teluk Cendrawasih 2023 was held on November 21st to the 27, 2023 at Samau Beach, Biak Numfor Regency, Papua. The event, which was officially opened by Indonesian President Joko Widodo, was held to promote marine tourism in Papua. Meanwhile, Indonesian Tourism and Creative Economy Minister Sandiaga Uno said that Sail Teluk Cendrawasih 2023 is very potential to attract many tourists and investors, so it could raise the economy and open jobs. In the opening, the president remarked that Papua, especially Cendrawasih Bay, has a very rich marine tourism. The potential needed to be promoted continuously so it can be known well by the tourists, both domestic and international. The president said Cendrawasih Bay is the heaven for coral reef, marine biota, and it is expected the Sail Teluk Cendrawasih, the culture, dances, music, and local products of Papua can be introduced to national and even the international level. President Joko Widodo hoped the event could strengthen the Indonesian existence as a marine tourism destination. Moreover, most of Indonesian territory is ocean. He hoped that the Sail Teluk Cendrawasih could introduce the marine, maritime, tourism and socio-culture potentials. Meanwhile, the event opening was filled by the sailing past by local fishermen and navy ships, Papuan traditional dances, and skydiving by the National Army and National Police. Well, listener, that's Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
You bring
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voynews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, today's Music Corner, I'm going to present a regional song from Jakarta entitled Ondel Ondel. Ondel Ondel is a tall and large doll which has become an icon of the arts and culture of the Betawi people in Jakarta. The song Ondel Ondel was written by Joko Subagyo in 1970 and popularized by the legendary singer from Betawi, Benjamin Sueb. It is said that it was through this song that the term barongan, which refers to this typical doll, began to change and became more popular with the name Ondel Ondel. The song Ondel Ondel narrates the uniqueness of the typical Betawi dolls, starting from the various types and the behavior of Ondel Ondel during performance. Usually, the song Ondel Ondel is sung at cultural arts performance, circumcisions events, proposals or traditional Betawi weddings, featuring the figure of Ondel Ondel at the event. Here is Bunga Abiral featuring Embung Trumpet with the song Ondel Ondel. Happy listening!
Nyok kita nonton Ondel Ondel.
Nyok!
Kita ngarap ondel ondel, ondel ondel ade anaknya, anak ini keterpinteran.
Oi, mak bapak ondel ondel ngibing.
Ser. di tampak yang beringin nanda pade surat-surat tangan pisang jahilin kepalin anak ondel-ondel taroin puntungan rambut kebakaran
anak ondel-ondel jejing krakan
Voice of Indonesia.
Cinta ini
tak pernah padamkan rinduku
namun sebaliknya rasa sayangku tercurahkan semua hanya untukmu sampai matiku karena kesatu untukku
mana mata hatimu mengarah please baby jangan marah-marah cintaku takkan pernah berubah ku percaya nanti pasti akan berakhir indah pada waktunya cuma kita berdua dua hati satu cinta saling menjaga ini lagu untukmu cobalah kau dengarkan baby I love you till the end of time
baby oh
you're the one for me
you're the one for me
of Indonesia.
Bahagia
Hi, listener. Now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter, at VOI Indonesia, Instagram, at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.